I am with Felix from Gengar, who just released their new album, Where Wildness Grows. First of all, it is a stunning, stunning album. I've been listening to it quite a lot the past few days, so congratulations. I feel like this album, it's just so much more raw and forward than the last album was. Like, the last one was really mystical and playful, I found, whereas this one just really kind of hits the heart of what it's trying to say, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think you could probably tell it's been a hard road, you know, since the first album.
So, yeah.
A lot of life experiences, perhaps, have jaded us and made us sort of more embittered by our own sort of, circumstances.
Mm.
But, you know, it's not really that, to be honest. It's, I think it's just, it just felt like a natural progression in many ways, you know. Mm. I wanted to make something more sincere, and something a bit more truthful maybe as well. And it just kind of seemed like a natural progression to kind of open up a little bit more and kind of invite people into the songs. I think, you know, it's quite easy to hide yourself in metaphor and avoid making things personal. But, you know, in doing that, I think you don't really allow your listener to kind of make the song their own, you know, really become a part of it. So hopefully in making the songs more sincere, it does allow people to kind of make them their own a little bit, you know. And I think that is the case with a lot of my favorite songs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that sincerity definitely reads through. Like, I really wish that we had the time to just get to go through each and every track, because the story that it tells, the way it kind of moves through the motions of something really turbulent, is beautiful, and the way that it ends on such a hopeful note as well, as it's just, it's a really, really, again, lovely album. Touching on what you were kind of saying about that honesty and sincerity, I feel like the symbolism in this album really reflects that. You know, like last album, you had a lot of stuff influenced by like kind of fantasy and mythology. You know, you had like She's a Witch, you had Fill My Gums with Blood, which is kind of a vampire-y kind of thing. You had Heroine, which was sort of a, I guess, knight in shining armor situation flipped on its head. But on this album, you have images that refer to nature and it's all of its force and beauty. You know, you have Carrion, you have Rising Tide, you have the title track of the album, Where Wildness Grows. Do you feel like they were made to reflect that kind of change a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I kind of, we were lucky to have a bit of time really to think about it. And I think I didn't really do any writing at all while we were playing our debut. You know, when A Dream Outside was being toured, nothing had really been done to prepare ourselves for that next step. So I did have a little bit of a think about what I wanted the songs to be about and how I wanted that change to happen and what I wanted to be different, you know, from the first one. I think making things more real was kind of at the forefront of that. You know, I wanted it to be more genuine, more authentic, and the easiest way I felt to kind of portray that was through nature, because it's obviously the most honest thing that exists, because it's here and we have no control over it. So you know, that ties in with our own emotions, and I just thought the kind of symbolism there was just ready to be written from, you know. So I think when you give yourself a kind of a general sort of theme to work with, writing can become a little bit easier and you can kind of play with it and have a bit of fun with where you kind of draw inspiration. But the topics were all very personal, but at the same time I was allowed to kind of draw from other things, because there was this kind of general idea that it would be something born out of the earth, you know. That was the kind of, that was the overriding factor in what the songs would kind of be about, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another thing actually that I really loved about this album is that you hear so much growth from you guys. You can hear that you really pushed and really challenged yourselves, both in terms of the subject matter, but in terms of the production, in terms of the instrumentation. And, you know, like, I'm hearing a lot more keyboards, I'm hearing some really cool like vocal effects. I think in I'll Be Waiting I heard some cool stuff in the background. Were there any things that you got to use in studio that you were really excited about trying, like new things to play around with?
I don't know if there's anything in particular that kind of, you know, I'm not a huge kind of fan of toys per se. I mean, we did rent a load of keyboards to kind of muck about with, but then I think I honestly ended up not really using them and using a lot of the kind of sounds that we pulled up on the laptops for demos, because you can spend hours trying to replicate something that you already think is quite good,
mm-hmm.
and then just realize that actually you've just been wasting time. So yeah, I think there was a lot of trial and error was mm-hmm. used, and you know, we did try and just kind of discuss and figure things out a lot before we turned up. So, but yeah, no, I think as far as you know, we do have a rather large collection of effects pedals and things that we use. And John's a very he's an avid follower of sort of that sort of technology, really. But mm-hmm. it's not really my kind of ballpark. I'm kind of, you know, I paint in broad strokes, and he's more of a kind of details man. So you know, we do have a lot of fun in the studio, and I think we do get to play around, but I think honestly, like, a lot of the creativity, it is kind of off the cuff. I don't think you should have, you know, if you're often deliberating and trying too many things out and mm-hmm. things aren't really working, then you're probably not kind of going about it the right way, you know.
Okay.
If it's good, it happens quick, and it should just be like, oh, you know, we should try that and maybe it'll work. If it's, you know, if we delay this and, you know, or we set the timer to something and it works, you know, coinciding with this guitar part, then that could be really cool. And if it doesn't, then, you know, move on. But yeah, we don't spend a hell of a lot of time like kind of tuning things in and like dialing up different sounds. It does happen quite quickly, that stuff, you know.
Okay, so it's a bit more instinctive then.
Yeah, I think so. I think you kind of you know, you've listened to a lot of music, you know, everyone has, so you kind of mm-hmm. have ideas when you're putting it through how you want it to sound. So
mm-hmm.
you know, there's the, I mean, the whole making of an album is a process and a bit of a journey, but along the way you're very kind of clear about the majority of things that you want to do, you know. So mm-hmm. It's just a case of just finding out how to do that, you know. I think the ideas are normally there in your head. It's just the problem is normally like working out how you put that onto a record, you know.
Yeah, of course. This is a bit switching gears here, but to promote the album, you guys have done some really cool stuff, including, I think you include like a packet of seeds or something with the vinyl.
Yeah.
First of all, what do those grow into?
I don't think I'm at liberty to say.
That sounds a little dodgy when you say it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, I think the whole point was it was supposed to be a bit of a surprise for people, you know, when they grow them. So they are indoor plants, I might add. I think
okay.
on it doesn't specify that.
Okay.
And that's a bit of a worry that people are going to plant them outside and nothing will grow.
Yeah.
So do if you have a pack and you've pre-ordered the album, or if you bought it in a record shop, I think they have some as well, then do plant them indoors.
Okay.
Would be my advice.
We'll circulate that around, make sure that everyone knows.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if you did the opposite as well, like give people like seeds for like an oak tree or something,
yeah,
and they started growing it in their living room. We're like, wait a minute, this doesn't fit.
They send the bills for someone when they've had their like ceiling ruined.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, thankfully, I think the plants are going to be relatively small in size, but they do flower. So there's, you
Ooh.
Know, from what I can tell you is they're edible and they do flower. So, you know, it's kind of, that's all I'm willing to disclose, I think, at this point.
Okay, well, keeping the plants a secret, fair enough. There is one other thing that you guys are doing. You're doing a gallery for the album. You are doing it, I think, from the 15th, so that's this Thursday, to the 20th. It's at A-Side B-Side Gallery. You're featuring some art from people like Marika Hackman, Tom Sunny Green from Alt-J, your own band member Hugh, the bassist in Gengar. What gave you guys the idea to want to do an art expo?
Well, we did one with the first album, and
mm-hmm.
You know, it was, a lot of it was just because we'd put together a lot of artwork, and Hugh had done a lot of paintings for the first record, and it just seemed like a bit of a shame not to put them on display. And then the kind of the natural progression was as well, where do we do it? And we'll do it in an art gallery. And it's like, well, the gallery's kind of big. We've only got about six paintings. So why don't we see if anybody else we know wants to put stuff in? And I think we were on tour with Alt-J at that time. So we asked Tom if he wanted to put something in. He was like, oh, that sounds great. And we did that. And then Laurie... and the Slaves guys, we met them when we were playing festivals, and he just started painting. I think I saw because stuff was up on Instagram, so I kind of just said to him, like, oh, do you want to put stuff in as well? And he was like, yeah, definitely. So it was quite small. And then obviously, actually, sorry, forgetting Ed as well, who from Bobby Bicycle Club, he was at sixth form with us, so I did art with him at school. So and he's a really talented painter as well. So we asked him as well. So it started off with just those four guys,
mm-hmm.
and then it's kind of just branched out this time. You know, it was a real big success, and a lot of people loved it the first time around. And yeah, Hughes, obviously, this time around, it's been a little bit more succinct because he's painted stuff, you know, based on the work itself, whereas last time it was a bit of a kind of a scrapbook of just things that he had lying around, and we kind of just cobbled it together. So this is a much more kind of unified body of work, and I think it's a lot more impressive as a series, you know. So that's going to be wonderful. And then obviously, you know, people like Marika and, you know, some of the guys from Mystery Jets are putting stuff in as well now. And it's just kind of expanded and grown, you know. And it's a really nice thing. And I mean, I hope, you know, the next album we'll get to do another one, and it'll be even bigger, you know. So we're just going to kind of keep working at it. But yeah, it seems to be something that people are really into. And yeah, it's long may it kind of, you know, sort of roll on, I guess, you know.
Amazing. Well, I'm definitely going to try and catch that. I do love getting to see people's artwork, and especially seeing, I guess, other people's creative processes, because they're all these people, of course, known for their music, but seeing how that same creativity comes out in I guess paintings.
Yeah, I mean, and I think as well the impressive thing about the gallery is going to be, I think, just the range and the difference of everyone's work is going to be quite you know, astounding, I think, because you know no one artist has got anything that looks like sort of remotely similar to the next. So you know, and we've got a friend of mine, Billy, as well, who plays in a band called Puppy.
Okay.
And they're kind of more of a kind of hardcore sort of, they're a bit heavier than probably the rest of the lineup.
Okay.
But he's got some visual stuff in there as well, so it's a real like a wide range of stuff, and it's all going to be quite impressive, I think.
Amazing. Well, I'm really excited for that. I've got one final question, which is kind of jumping back into the past of Gengar a bit, but basically I was listening to the song Haunter, which was on your first EP, and I posted it on my Facebook because I just really, really enjoyed it. And one of my friends commented something about, like, I don't know, I think it was like a Pokemon reference, and I know that your band name comes from Pokemon. I didn't really watch it a lot as a kid because for some reason my mom thought it was violent and she didn't let me. I know, I think she really like completely misunderstood it. And
I mean, it is quite weird when you think about it now, because it was essentially like sort of like dog fighting, you know, like everyone has their own pet and they make them fight each other. So it is kind of weird.
It's actually messed up.
But it was kind of all done with a smile, so it was all right at the time, you know. But yeah, I can kind of see that now. But yeah, we thought it was amazing as kids, you know.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I guess the reason I'm bringing it up was just to confirm, like, I guess, or give an end to this debate that I was having with my friend. Does Haunter reference Pokemon, or is this my friend just making stuff up in his head?
No, it doesn't at all in the song.
Yes.
It was kind of a bit of a joke, really.
Okay.
You know, it felt like a funny thing to do, and I think, you know, I was aware that people would find it either amusing or would possibly get a little bit carried away on the Pokemon side of things. And I mean, that is something like, I mean, we've brought this upon ourselves, you know, we named ourselves after Pokemon, but we have tried as hard as we can to sort of avoid having to kind of be associated with Pokemon, because, you know, we are now adults, and we don't watch Pokemon, and we haven't for a long time. So it's not really a part of my life anymore, if I'm honest. But it's nice to see that there are still, you know, people in their 20s and even their 30s probably who are still enjoying Pokemon, and, you know, good for them.